We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Here we are. It's that time again. The best time of the week is when the Insane in the Membrane comes out into your ear holes and you listen to it and your life is changed. I hope you're doing all right. I hope you're doing well. It's still a funny old time. But as I say this, the sun is shining. So at least there's that. I hope you're well. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're cool. We see all manner of stuff kicking off around the world, but there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love in the world as well. Just try and focus on that. That comes up in this week's conversation, actually. Trying to focus on the good stuff rather than the bad, which I'm very guilty of. I do kind of focus on the shit, and I should be focusing on the sunshine. So I'm gonna make a concerted effort to do that. Getting heckled again by Jade Adams. This is the beauty of recording from your home. I get a live audience in the shape of Jade Adams. You alright, Jade? Do you want to say hello to the people? No, shaking your head now. Alright then. She sends her love, everybody. Before we get into it, thank you again for all of your lovely messages and for taking the time to listen to this. Really appreciate that. You're all wonderful people. And thank you to everyone that's listened to the Tuned Up Time Machine or listening to radio. If you've not listened to that yet, you should. All you got to do is get the Mixcloud app on your phone. Doesn't take a minute, doesn't cost you anything. And then you go on there, you put in the Tuned Up Time Machine, and that will give you some incredible radio shows. Not just mine, millions of others. You're going to have a great time on there. So do that for us, that'd be great. And you can also go to islingtonradio.co.uk, and that is the hub. That's where you'll see exactly what's going on Islington Radio. And with that in mind, that brings us to our guest this week, the man behind Islington Radio, Mr. Tom Bright, who came out of nowhere. I didn't know who he was, and then he said, do you want to do this radio show? And I'd love to. And then I got into him. He's not only a radio station guru, he's also a brilliant singer-songwriter who has appeared on the Tuned Up Time Machine. His music's excellent. He tells beautiful stories in a very short space of time, and I love that. That's my favourite kind of songwriting. And I just thought, do you know what, let's get him on. Producer Paul and I was like, yeah, definitely, let's have him on, be a good chat. And it really was. He's such a lovely dude, and you'll get that from when you listen to him. He's just got a really nice outlook on life, you know. He likes to push himself. He's a very busy man, but that's all right. That's good. Keep you busy. And it was just nice to have him on. So coming up in a little while is Tom Bright.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Here we are. Early, innit? It's an early one.
I've already been up for 4 hours.
Have you? What have you been doing?
Doing a lot of wanking.
Imagine that. 4 hours.
Let's get up early to catch me out, mate.
That's not wanking anymore. That's whittling. 4 hours. Jesus Christ. Well, you're a busy boy, aren't you? You've got so much going on.
Not surprised. Man, honestly, sometimes I do question myself. Yeah, multiple things happening at the moment.
Yeah. It's good, though, to be busy, especially with everything else that's going on.
You know what? I was talking to my publisher last night on the phone and he was saying how busy he is at the moment. I think we're all deliberately making ourselves as busy as possible.
Yeah.
To, like, take our minds off the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think we're very lucky that we're able to keep ourselves busy. I know some people that they're just kind of drifting. They're just sort of sat there going, I've watched
ambling
all
the around, aren't they?
Yeah, and you're like, I've watched it all, I've smoked it all, I've drunk it all. I don't really know what else to do. And you're like, just got to hang on, just hold on. We'll be out of this soon. I'm telling
we
you,
will, mate. I'll tell you. Yeah. I feel like it was always going to get a lot worse before it was going to get better, but I think the better will come at quite a decent pace.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I've got a feeling that by about May, we might be kinda there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait as well. It's going to be...
I can't wait.
Just touching people.
Mate, I know.
Just like, not randomly on the tube, but just...
No, I'm going to do that.
Do you know what? They'll probably love it. Now it's like, yeah, touch me, man. Like, all right. Where are you from, Tom?
I'm from Derbyshire originally.
Right, okay. Yeah.
East Midlands. So,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, up in a little village called Little Eaton, where there's a lot of sheep, a lot of hills. Yeah, lovely part of the world, mate.
And
To be fair, when the shit hit the fan in March last year, I was out. I chipped off out of London. And I stayed out and then me and my girlfriend, we got a flat back in London at the end of August. So had nearly 6 months out of town, which was crazy.
I tell you what, I had, after the last lockdown, I sort of had a wander around, going to, you know, meeting up with people outdoors and things like that. And I suddenly realised how lucky I was to not be in town. Because they're all on top of each other, and there's no view, and there's no annual, and the shops are just, you know, rammed with people, and I was like, wow, oh, man, I was well lucky.
Whereabouts are you?
Down in Leon Sea in Essex.
Oh, nice.
Down there, South End. Yeah.
Jay was saying yesterday, Rich, that you keep outing where you live, and I've told him not to say where we live.
Oh, she wanders around like she's Beyonce. Yeah, stop taking photos and putting them online. Yeah, and I'm like, ah, shut up. No one's coming here. Not allowed.
So it's Leon Sea, is it?
It's Leon Sea. Everyone, do you want my mum's maiden name?
What house number?
Yeah. And the three digits on the back of the card. I don't know. But you're listening to your music I was struck by there's a sensitivity to that, which was really nice. You know, yeah. Really, like, because you're talking, there was some, a couple of songs, you're talking about some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
With such a light, delicate touch. It was really nice to listen to. Was that?
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
I can talk you through how it all developed if you want.
Yeah, go on, mate.
So when I was late in the music world.
Yeah.
I was a pub landlord at the age of 18, yeah.
Wow, and man.
I was the youngest in the UK. I had a pub for till I was nearly 23.
Yeah, right.
Did a really good job. That was during we moved in 2007, in the recession back then.
Right, okay.
And really did a sterling job. And I learned everything I know about everything there. You know, when you're a pub landlord, mate, you're like a therapist, you're a doctor, you're a people confide in you beyond belief, and even though you know you're giving them the poison that they desire. But it's so was in the pub game, but I always had this kind of feeling in me that I had stories in me, but I'd never found that tongue really. Because I'd had a lot of interesting things happen to me as a young person as well.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the pub tenure, I got a guitar and I taught myself. I got obsessed with it. I was playing like 8 hours a day, just absolutely obsessing over it. Started writing my first songs, performed live for the first time 3 weeks into playing.
Bloody hell.
And then we basically sold the pub and I got out of the UK. I got a one-way flight to Sydney, Australia, got there, picked up a guitar for $50 and I started going around busking and stuff. That took me to Melbourne where I put a bit of a band together and played my first shows out there and got my first recordings out. I was on some radio stations out there. And then I was in Tasmania of all places.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Mumford and Sons.
Yeah,
they were on a tour out there. And we ended up having a few nights together. They were listening to some of my early demos and said, look, you should go for this, you know, get yourself to London and give it a bash. So I did. I actually followed their advice. I moved to London at the start of 2013 with a backpack and a guitar. I was living in a bedsit in Leytonstone and working in a restaurant in Spitalfield called the English Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Aptly named. And and again, you'll relate to this. When you chuck yourself out there, the universe starts putting a few bits and bobs together for you.
Yeah, true.
And I met some people who changed my life, really. I got to know a guy called Mal, who happened to be in a band with Mick Jones from The Clash. So,
oh, wow.
We got really matey and he started overseeing a few bits and bobs for me. And he introduced me to Mick and then me and Mick became mates. And actually, I did my whole debut album with Mick Jones. He produced my first singles.
What?
Yeah, man. So
that's
my
so cool.
First producer I ever worked with was Mick Jones from The Clash.
What? We did
yeah, mad, isn't it? I was a lad from a little village in Derbyshire, and I got Glenn Matlock playing bass for me. And I've got
what?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Glenn is a mate of mine. He played bass on my first couple of releases, and it was a full band. It was rock and roll. It was we only released for the singles because then before I put the record out, I kind of assessed where I wanted to go with it all, and as much as I can do the kind of the band thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. My songwriting changed a lot. I was starting to write about social stuff, but not just more observational stuff, you know, and
yeah,
and writing about humans, and you know, started to write songs where there's a character, like in the first record, there's things like Wedding Bells, which is this kind of anti-love story where there's a, it just paints a picture of a woman who's trapped in a bad relationship, and then Lighthouse, about a social worker who rescues abused kids, and then Blood and Water, that one's about twin brothers who fall out in their 20s and then don't speak for like 50 years, and then one of them's dying and writes his twin brother a letter. So started writing really kind of, yeah, just quite heavy stuff, and then realised that that was where I wanted to go with it.
Yeah, but it's really, but what I, like I said to you, yeah, you're what you're talking about is some heavy shit, but the way you do it is so delicate and so, there's a real beauty to it, which I was really, especially with the song Lighthouse.
Yeah, that, Lighthouse, that was, a lot that, of people yeah, connect that with
really,
that one.
Really struck me, that one. It was like, whoa, I've listened to it all loads, but it was that one I keep coming back to, because it's just, yeah, it's just a beautiful thing. And is that from a real experience, or
that's just some not stories really you picked up from a real experience? I mean, a lot of things are personal on there, and a certain degree of it is. But I think what I do is I almost take an aspect of my personal life and I create a character. Within that, and it kind of, so then the character becomes my experience, and then you write about that character.
Yeah.
And it's actually, yeah, maybe it's a, and I'm thinking about it myself now and I'm wondering why I do that, but maybe it makes it easier to write about because you feel like you're writing about someone else.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean, man. It's like with comedy. Everything that I talk about comes from, there's truth in it, but you can't, but like, you know, to make it entertaining, you embellish bits and you add bits, or you might just mash up a couple of stories to make one funny story. And so, yeah, I can see what you mean about you almost, yeah, you become a character rather than you're directly you. I know I've just realized, that myself now, talking to you now.
So, we all do it, don't we?
Yeah. That's funny that I hadn't realized. I think that's what I've missed with the lockdown, is that I've missed writing those stories and telling those stories, you know.
I've really missed performing, to be honest. It's because it becomes such a big part of you. I was running regular nights in London, and yeah, I just really miss the whole kind of live side of it, because it's all well and good writing material. That's more for, I guess, being a comedian. You know, live gigging is a huge part of your life, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so you'd write material with the aim of going out there and giving it to the audience.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it kind of, a lot of it has been, obviously been pulled away from under us, and yeah, we just can't wait to get it back.
Yeah, I think it's that being needed, you're needed somewhere. I think that's what human beings, that's what's hit us the most. Even though we, you know, most days, you know, I can't be fucked to drive all the way there. I can't be, you know, I've got to go to work again today. Oh God, I can't be bothered. But once that's taken away, you go, oh shit, yeah, it's nice to be needed somewhere. You know, and I think that's what a lot of people are struggling with now. Yeah, but you know, we'll like you've already said, we'll get there. We'll come out the other side, and we'll be a lot fucking stronger, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've really made the most of the time that we've had, to be honest. And even though it has all been a bit pear shaped, I've managed to, you know, do great things like set up Islington Radio for a starter, and I wrote a book as well.
Brilliant.
I got a book out, and then wrote my second record and recorded that. So that's
there you go.
That's going to be coming out this year. So yeah, just managed to keep the brain ticking.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously quite driven. I mean, if you're a pub landlord at 18,
Yeah.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing at 18. I was at college dicking around, but...
I was still dicking around, mate. I was really dicking around. I had to grow up really fast.
Yeah, because that's it. Because that's... Pub landlord is 24-7, isn't it? That's a...
Yeah, we were living upstairs as well, man. So it's like... You know, you're quite literally working every hour.
Yeah. And there's you're breathing it,
you're sleeping it, you wake up, you're down in the cellar at 6:30 in the morning, you're locking up at 2 a.m. You know, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Anyone who does it, fair play, because it is absolutely, it's hard.
Yeah. I know some people that have done it, and it, like, they in the end, they had to get out because it's just all the time.
It's all encompassing, man.
It
absolutely drains you.
Yeah. But you're not living on your own, are you? Like you say, you got your partner.
I'm with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're here now in North London. We've got a studio in here. And, it's nice, actually. It's really nice getting back into London after a bit of time out. And it's quite weird walking around at the moment. Like, I went into Central this week around, like, the Bank of England. It was like 28 days later.
Yeah.
Like, there's shops boarded up. And, like, there's one shop. It was like a tailoring suit shop. And, you know, it looks like a dystopian film scene now, because he's got this big paper handwritten sign saying, "We're closing after 42 years of business." And it's like, what is happening?
Yeah. It's so sad, isn't it? And it happened so immediately. It was just like, bang, done. And we're very lucky that we've got other outlets that we can sort of, you know, flush our emotions through.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other people who haven't got that. You know, is that where your songwriting, do you feel like it's just a way of getting that?
Oh, man, I don't know. If I didn't know how to put a tune together, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd really, in life in general, I think that songwriting has pulled me through a lot.
Yeah.
Because writing is therapeutic, isn't it?
Yes.
Writing is, it's like giving yourself therapy.
Yeah.
And I think more so when you're writing the really heavy stuff where you kind of look, it's just like getting a mirror.
Yeah.
And you're looking yourself in the eyes and you're going, right, okay. Sometimes, you know, I've written tunes and you know, they're really like, in fact, more so in the second album, whereas in the first record, it's all, most of the tracks, there's a character and there's a story. The second album is really, really personal. So it's more of like, I was actually going to call it like self-portrait, but then that's been done before. So it's called Legacy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm just trying to leave a legacy.
That's what we were talking about the other day. That especially a lot of people that run the world seem to be very obsessed with legacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What am I going to leave? I want people to see me.
We're all trying to leave a mark, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when that gets in the hands of like the narcissistic people,
yeah,
you know, then it becomes, it becomes more extreme, doesn't it?
That's when we get statues.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually sitting here at the dinner table last night and my head just drifted off and I was like, what makes some people really like horrible? Like, do they not think the same as everyone else where, you know, we're all just trying to crack on and do good things and leave a positive mark. Like, you know, I'd like to leave records and songs and books and things for, you know, I love the idea of like years after you're gone in the physical sense that people are digesting your writings and the things you were talking about. But, you know, like, what do the really horrible politicians, do they think like that, or do they just not at all?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, isn't it? It's like life happening to them, like things would have happened to them as they were growing up, and then there's different chemicals in them that I don't really know. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you meet cunts and you go, why are you such a cunt?
Yeah, exactly.
And then normally, like Jade's really good at this, like when you work it back, you go back down the timeline and you go, ah, right, there, that's the bit there that happened.
Always a reason, isn't there?
There's always a reason. There's an interaction further back with somebody that's kind of triggered something in them.
Yeah.
And they've gone, right, that's never going to happen to me again.
Mm, yeah.
Or someone's been an absolute wanker to them, and they've gone, oh, that's, and that person, they saw that person as successful.
Mm.
And they've gone, right, yeah, I'll be that, because that'll get me what I want. And yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? How these different experiences forge us, don't they, and make us this who we are. And but then we change as well. I think a lot of these people, like the proper wankers, don't even know that they're wankers, because they're wank. We can all be tosspots at times, can't we? But I think some people don't even realize they're doing it. You know, they've never been called out enough. Although no. I have, I've been called out many times.
You're as a diamond geezer.
As a diamond geezer, yeah. Well, yes, I am. But I've worked at it, because I don't want to be a wanker. Yes. And I know that sometimes I get heckled by Jade again, which is ironic coming from you. Anyway, yeah, I think it's just, I don't know. It puzzles me, man. Mm. Puzzles me, you know what I mean? It's a shame.
It is, man.
You know what I mean? Things like, I'm the same as you, I think. I'll be sat for hours just mulling it over, going, why are you that way? What happened, man? Why do you want... I think a lot of it is anger as well, and frustration at what's gone before. And so they take it out on the now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The first song of my next album is called The Man Who Knows That What He Knows Is Note.
Yeah, right.
Nout. And it's at the bottom of a pile of nothing... You might find that special something that engraves itself in your brain and takes you by the hand down Lesson Lane. Nice. Like at the top of the mountain is the start of the sky. At the root of the problem, there's a reason why. If you focus on forget-me-nots, you're far less fussed by parting shots. And it's just like kind of putting it all in perspective and... Yeah, don't get too caught up in it all.
I think I think you're right. It's that, I know I'm guilty of that. I focus on the negatives a lot, too much sometimes. Whereas, I'm very lucky to have the life I have. And my boys are great. They, you know, they've grown up to be top human beings. And you should focus on that. But I don't. I get bogged down and, oh, God, why is that happening? But it's difficult, isn't it? It's hard to focus on the good stuff.
You're human, man.
We've
all got it. And also, I think now, where quite literally the world is in your hand on a little black mirror, you know, it's like there's got to be boundaries set, because, you know, you wake up and it really is like the first thing you see in the morning, the last thing you see at night.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got all the news apps on your phone and all this, and you're just like, getting drip fed just negativity.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Like, oh man, this is really like.
Yeah, yeah. Because good news isn't. People don't want it like with the news on the TV or on the apps. You know, it's.
Yeah, man. You don't like. I think maybe it exists, but maybe there needs to be a news outlet that literally just broadcasts the great things that happen. Because there's loads.
Yeah. But I think people like the drama. I remember, I've said this before, when I was a kid, you knew the world was shit and bad things were going on, but you didn't really know where, and you didn't know by who.
Yeah.
So you kind of, it didn't affect, you didn't feel like you had to do something about it. Whereas now people, you hear of atrocities in other countries, and everyone's going, oh, we've got to do this, got to do that. You go, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, man?
What can you do?
What can you do?
Yeah.
What, you know, and if you, This is exactly it. The world hasn't actually ever changed. And even when, you know, everyone was going, oh, 2020, worst year ever. The world has always been brutal.
Yeah.
Like, always.
Yeah.
From the start of man, you know, you look back in it, look at ancient Rome. They were feeding men to lions in a Colosseum.
Yeah.
And loving it. You know, it's all, it's never, ever, ever changed. But the world's always been at war. And I think now because of, you know, because of things like the internet and how we're all absolutely caught up in all of that side of it now.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's just constantly on show, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no, and yeah, like you say, boundaries are so important, man.
You've got to have boundaries. I'm trying to really be, yeah, strict on my internet exposure, but it's difficult because, again, when you're in the entertainment world, you know, we operate over social media, don't we?
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of guy that voices my opinions on Twitter, and I never will be, but to a certain extent, you have to, you know, post something like a new release or what you've doing, what you've been working on, or, you know, even a message of, hope you're all doing all right out there, you know.
Yeah, true. It's funny, we had that, Jade and I had that conversation the other day, actually, talking about social media, and I was just going, like, you know, she's like, you've got to be posting all the time about your podcast and about this and about that. You've got to be passionate about social media because of what you do. And I'm like, but I'm not. Mm. And I worry that I don't want to keep posting about the stuff I'm doing because I don't want people to get fed up with it. That's what I worry about. It's like, just because you see it all the time, and to a point, you don't even, people post so much, you don't even see it anymore.
I see, like, all the time people saying, oh, you need to be posting every day, you need to be doing it. And for Tom Bright, man, I mean, I probably post once a week maximum.
Yeah.
Because I just really, it's just not in me to shout about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I just pop up every now and then and go, thank you, John Kennedy at Radio X, for playing this last night. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing for me. With the radio stuff, it's a daily thing because, you know,
well, yeah, that's
the radio station is a day, everything, you've got to be talking about what's going on every day.
Yeah,
but,
but personally.
Personally, yeah, man.
But do you find, have you ever had any sort of therapy or counseling, ever felt you needed to? Because this comes up a lot lately. People that either have and swear by it, or they want to, but they're worried about doing it.
You know, I've never had therapy.
No.
And I probably should have. But again, with the songwriting, with writing, I just feel like I'm giving myself the, it's not therapy because I'm not a therapist, but I'm giving myself kind of, it's almost like a healing process, you know, because, and I've got loads of songs written that I know, you know, not even on album two, they're just in the catalogue.
Yeah.
Just things that you write about, and even just words, you know, books and on your phone in your notes, just putting your thoughts down sometimes. To me, that's my kind of, my...
Just sort of therapy
my,
in
my
a way.
My therapy, yeah. But maybe I should actually seek a therapist, and because there's been some things that do burn away in me and do have an effect on every day of my life.
Yeah, I think it's that I wasn't sold on it. I'm like, oh, I don't need that. But then when I went, I suddenly, it's what was nice is that you're telling somebody else that is outside of you about these things that trouble you, and to have someone come back and go, well, it's not that bad. The thing is, the reason it's this, and like kind of pulling it apart for you and going, look, it's not that bad, mate. It's the reason you're thinking about it so much is because of this, 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 and this, and that. And it's really nice to have someone explain it all.
yeah,
and take away that pressure to you can't, you know, the therapy we've had, and it's she goes, well, it's not your fault. This happened to you, so that's why you're that. That's why you act the way you do, because this happened, and you're like, oh, great, because that guilt, it becomes so heavy.
Guilt is heavy, man.
Yeah, and it. I think even using this podcast, this is very therapeutic for me, talking to other people, and I've said this loads, realizing that you're not alone in your feelings. Other people feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what's important to people, to realize that they're not on their own, and you're not, most of the things you're feeling, everybody else is feeling or has felt.
100%.
And, you know, and I think that's so important. That's the main thing that people need to know, is that you're not alone in these thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
But you're, I mean, it sounds like you're really busy. You don't have you have the moment, a few moments where you're sat and thinking about stuff, but most of the time it sounds like you're just full steam ahead.
I just, I've got a good little routine going on now. And admittedly, to be honest, I think one of my downsides, we've all got many downsides, and I've got loads and loads. I'm like a real kind of obsessive, I'm really time obsessive and work obsessive, where I've got my first thing I do, I go to my diary, I've got my Tom Bright diary with my name on the front, and I have my day literally ding, 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 all outlined from the morning, and I wake up and the first thing I do, the first thing I tried to do, I've fallen off the wagon a little bit this week because the new lockdown threw me early in the week. I was like, it really just spun me out a bit, but I've got my head around it again now. But I wake up, I meditate 10 minutes, and then I've been doing Italian lessons for nearly a year.
Oh, nice.
So then I do my Italian class. My girlfriend's from Rome, so Parlo poco italiano. And then I go for a walk, get my thoughts together. Sometimes I listen to a podcast, but most of the time I actually listen to nothing but the birds and stuff, because that's very, very healing, nature. And then I get my head into it, and I try and be at my desk for 8:30 and work. And then I get carried away, and sometimes I'm sat here working till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, because I don't know when to stop.
If you don't feel the need to stop, then it's crack on.
It is, and I need to learn how to switch off. One of the things I need to get on top of this year is learn how to delegate, and then a lot of that comes down to trust as well, because I always feel like I'm Superman and I have to do things myself.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't have personnel and you don't have people, need people. So
yeah,
you know, and I do need to get my head around that, and I'm getting there. It's like number one on my things to do this year. Just learn to trust people and learn to hand over tasks.
Yeah. I think taking yourself off for a walk and just getting some air. I think that's what people need to do as well. Especially now, if you can, just go for, I know you don't feel like it, it's cold out, it's wet, but just, you will definitely feel better if you just have a wander around the block for 10 minutes.
Do you know what I'm going to do today?
Go on.
I'm going to walk to Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
From North London, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, nice.
And thinking about walking back.
Yeah.
Be about 17 miles in total.
Bloody hell.
I know. But yeah, just really fancy doing it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I've done it before. I remember walking when I was at college. I used to walk from Croydon back to Orpington in southeast London. That ends
really
in Kent. Yeah, it used to take me like 4 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours. But I'd just do it, I'd be Walkman on and I'd just go.
It's class, just, isn't it? It's so good. And it just makes you feel, I don't know. I am juggling a few bits and bobs at the moment with the Tom Bright stuff and with the Islington Radio stuff, which is doing great. It's got off to such a great start, thanks to people like yourselves.
No, mate.
And then I manage a couple of artists as well, Sean O'Reilly and Shay Rafferty. So I look after the careers of two guys, and a lot of coaching goes into that, actually. It's like artist development and coaching, kind of, I've taken them from the very starts of their careers to them both being quite established at what they do. And then I'm a part of the Joe Strummer Foundation, so I do a lot of work for those guys.
And
we do some really good work. And we work with, we've got a lot of good cool ambassadors like Frank Turner and stuff. So we're doing some really cool projects over in the likes of Sierra Leone and stuff. But this, you can already hear there's so many plates there.
Mm.
And so I have to be like an absolute beast with my diary and really chop my day into kind of 4 or 5 segments. And then what happens, because I'm human, things spill into each other because you can't help it, because, you know, you'll move on to doing another thing, but you'll get a text and that will take, and then another, and then an email, and then you're like, oh, fucking hell. And then you sat at the computer till 10 o'clock and you've not finished. It's like,
I know that, man. Yeah. But you're, like you say, you're human. You can only do so much. And
I need to remind, and I really need to remind myself that a lot. I'm not a robot. I'm a human with a heart and feelings and a mind that isn't robotic.
No. Well, I've just said, if you're, you know, like you said, you don't know when to stop when you're working and you'll just crack on. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you're not feeling it, just crack on. But you have to take some time out and just do, especially someone who's busy like you, doing nothing is very important. It's just to sit and think and just go, what I do is I normally put on a movie that you don't have to think too much about, so I'm not connected to my phone for a bit and just watching garbage.
I know exactly what you mean. And I think I get my kind of my calm place just reading a book with a record on.
Yeah, nice.
Which I try and do on a Sunday, you know, just put the phone on airplane mode and literally just chill out, have a couple of beers, and beer's a great healer, isn't it?
Oh man, I used to drink to get pissed. Like I was never like, oh, I'll have a beer because I fancy it. It was like, I'm going out, I'm going to get hammered.
I'm out, yeah. Same. Yeah. I was always getting on. It was just a binge
all the time. And it used to, and I think it's because I wasn't happy in myself, wasn't happy where I was. And so I was just drunk all the time and doing whatever else I was doing. And but now it's, Now I don't need that. It's a nice place to be. I can have a beer. I don't have to get a nice little buzz on. I don't have to get totally annihilated every time I have a drink.
Yeah, I think that I've not actually been hammered since March, but I have drank regularly.
Yeah.
You know, I think 2, 3, 4 beers is like a nice, you know, whereas it used to be going out doing like 8 pints and then a load of other silly stuff. Then you just like, and then you wake up, you don't know where your head is, you crack back on.
Yeah, I know, straight back on it, SBOI.
I don't think I'll be able to do it anymore.
Oh, dude, you wait till you get to my age, Jesus. You'll have one sesh, that's you done for a good month or so. And I think it's not as nourishing. Doesn't nourish you like before. It was, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to go out and get on it.
Mm.
And now I'm like, no, I've got, there's other stuff that fires me up, like doing this and doing the radio show and comedy and those things make me feel so much more than drugs or drinking ever did.
Yeah.
Which is you know, lucky that has happened. But yeah, I could tell. I've got mates that still, you know, they can't go out unless they've got a little bit of powder on them.
And yeah, like, man.
But then you're like, but then you can't. You're not in their life, and you can see why. You're like, look, you're not happy. You're not happy with that. I don't know what the answer is, but doing this all the time ain't it? You know, you just get caught in that spiral, don't you? Of unhappiness, and then the ups and downs of taking drugs and drinking, and you just get stuck in it. And it's a lot of people. And I don't know what the answer is, really. No. I don't know where I'm going with this now. Just,
well, no, just I think the answer is just to either go with it, see where it ends. Normally, doesn't end in a good result.
No.
Or yeah, just a bit of self reflection and go, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Do I like going and getting off my box for 3 days?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it really spins you out as well, doesn't it? Like I think about where my head went and you're like, Jesus, the thoughts that you start having.
Yeah.
It does play a big part in, you know, I think depression and stuff. Yeah, I think with a lot of things, you think, yeah, I've probably done some things, put some things in my body that didn't help.
No,
with that
God,
cocktail.
No. That because if you're not, it's again talk about a chemical reaction. If you're not in a good place and you start taking these things, it doesn't put you in a good place.
Worse thing you do.
It just taps into the negativity that you're already feeling.
Yeah, and that's the same really with going out and getting hammered, isn't it? You know, if you're going out and you're not in a good place mentally and you're going out and getting smashed, it's really sad.
Just
drinking yourself into an oblivion.
Yeah, and then you end up getting in a scuffle with someone because
all the time, I was always scrapping.
Yeah, because you're not, it's that alcohol has tapped into the shit that you're feeling, and now you just want to lash out, and it only takes a shitty look or an off word from someone.
Yeah.
That was literally my,
you know, 18, 19, 20, even when I was in the pub, you know, when I'd go out, there was always fighting and there was always lots of silly stuff, you know, it's just like, oh God.
And a lot of it, I think, there was a lot of, when I was a kid, there was an air of violence around, like when we started going to pubs and things like that. It was just in the air.
There was going to be a scrap.
Yeah, there was always going to be some. You just knew by the end of the night, someone somewhere, if it wasn't you, it was going to be somebody else pinning someone up against the wall of the pub and it's kicking off. And I don't know if that comes from a bigger thing, doesn't it? Frustration. You want more out of life, you know, you're trapped in some small town.
I think that's it. Whereabouts were you at that time?
It was a place called Orpington, and it's near Bromley.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of southeast London, Kent border. And it's just a shitty little town. There's, like, no one goes there. Yeah. You know, you're not going to go and spend the day in Orpington. It's a shitty little town, and there's a lot of frustration. There's people I know that haven't moved. They still live there.
Yeah.
And they still live in the same street, if not the same house that they grew up in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's gonna, you know, I've bumped into a few people recently, and they were like, "Oh, you're just doing this, that, and the other." And you're like, "I'm just not here. I don't want. I just felt there was more.
Yeah, man.
Than this. This.
No, I totally relate.
Shitty little town. Yeah, same with you. You know,
that is honestly why when I think about, you know, my music really pulled me out. It really changed my life, because if I didn't have that kind of that meaning and that desire to kind of pursue this, I don't know where I'd be, mate, but it wouldn't be in the best place in the world. And I wouldn't be happy.
No, I think music for me as well, that's what through music that showed me that there was this bigger world out there. I just learned so much from the music I was listening to.
Yeah, it's more than music, isn't it?
I think
it's every aspect of songs, the image of it as well, and the, you know, hearing something out of nowhere and going, "Whoa, that went in."
Yeah.
You know, and then investigating that. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I think it taught me about, you know, people are different, and it taught me, because there's people, like, again, going back to the people that I know from the town I grew up in, I see some of the stuff they post on Facebook and things like that, and you're like, wow, man, how are you racist like that? What, we grew up together. What the fuck is going on? And I don't know. I think a lot of it comes from the music I've listened to.
Mm.
It's, you know, it taught me about multiculturalism and you know, and people from other places, and
yeah,
and then you're, and being open to different kinds of music as well. Yeah, music for me is the most important thing that's ever happened. Bigger than comedy, I think. Yeah.
Same here. It really is. It shaped my life.
Mm.
That's why I'm sat here talking to you now.
You
know, my life could have gone a very different path, and there's no way I'd have been given the opportunities to do things like this and the amazing things that I have experienced. You know, it's like, I'm sat here now thinking about it, and I've done things that there's no way that I would have even imagined I'd get anywhere near to doing. Work with my heroes, performed at Glastonbury. What? How did I do that? And performed in Vivaldi's courtyard in Venice.
What?
With Mick Jones. Yeah, he flew me out there. He did an exhibition exhibiting all his rock and roll memorabilia.
Yeah.
The things. He's a bit of a collector, is Mick. And through his Clash days and BAD and you know, he's part of Gorillaz as well. So
yeah.
He's collected so many things. And yeah, we went out there when we were just before we started working on some stuff. And he flew me out there and we performed together in Vivaldi's courtyard.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a set of my stuff and then we did Volare. It's crazy.
Mate.
It's mental.
But that's it. I think just being open to the world and going, fuck it. All right, I'm just going to go and do it. Because I know that I've said this before, where I get in my own way sometimes because of the fear. I'm scared to make that step.
Mm.
To go, it's that fear of failure or looking stupid. But then every time I've gone, fuck it, I'm just going to do it and flung myself into it, it's always been fine.
And I've always, fine, man.
It's always fine. It's just having that bravery to go, fuck it, I'm going to go and do it. Because that's what got me here. That's what got me doing this, talking to you at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I've got the closest people to me, the fear thing is something that holds them back.
Definitely.
But for myself, that is something that I've always had, this kind of just fuck it attitude. Mm. I don't really give a toss what other people think. And just do, because life is pretty, it can end like that.
Yes.
So you don't really want to be regretting things.
No. I think that's, especially now I'm older, I've started to, because I'll be 50 in like a year's time.
Really?
Yeah, man. No. Yeah.
You're doing well, man.
Thanks, man. Plenty of water. Drink plenty of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And surround yourself with young, vibrant people. That sounds a bit BBC, but what I mean is, you know, I'm really lucky that, you know, I've got a partner that is very creative. And she's always, she doesn't give a fuck about what people think a lot of the time. So it kind of, that fires me up. It's like, I am worrying about the wrong things. Just fucking get on with it. I think what happens with me, I get fed up with the worry of it all.
Mm.
And then I go, oh, fuck this. I don't want to feel like this anymore. Just fucking do it. And then I do it. And then it's all fine. I was worrying about nothing.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right, mate. Make that leap. Do that thing that's gonna make you uncomfortable for a bit.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, but I think there's a feeling as well. That, this is what I've learned as well. That people feel you get to a point and then you've sort of like you've learned everything, you know everything, and you never do. There's no destination with this.
No.
There's just life, and you just learn. He's just always experiencing different things and learning different stuff until you're not here anymore.
Exactly. Last year, I read loads of books that really kind of like went in and affirmed these kind of thoughts and theories, you know. And one of them was Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. You ever read that?
I know of it. I've never read it.
That would just put it in perspective for you, man.
Yeah.
That is it. It's just like, I don't know if you know about him. He was a professor and he was in Auschwitz.
Right.
He was a prisoner of war and, not a prisoner of war. He was Jewish in Auschwitz during the Holocaust. So
Jesus.
The most horrendous time in humanity. And he basically conducted an experiment while he was there. And what he discovered is he basically created this logotherapy technique because he survived.
Wow.
And writing this book was his impetus to survive and get out there.
Yeah.
What he found was the people that had drive and something to cling on to, meaning, who had meaning in their life, were the ones who did pull through and survive. And it does make you think, and I've thought it a lot, where, you know, if you really, the importance of having meaning in your life.
Yes.
Is absolutely paramount.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have to remind myself, I had this conversation the other day, actually, just about, it's amazing that we're here. That should be enough.
Beautiful. Yes, every day is amazing, man. Waking up and going, oh, right, another day.
Yeah.
Great. You can do anything if you put your mind to it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we get bogged down with all the shit, don't we? We get bogged down with where we think we should be and the life we think we should have. And you go, look, you're alive, man.
You're alive, man.
You're alive.
And at the end of the day, we're all going to die.
It's inevitable. So don't worry about that. Don't waste your life worrying about the end.
Yeah. I think maybe more so now. I think, again, it boils back to how social media plays such a big part in people's lives. A lot of people fall into the trap of comparing themselves, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Comparison is the thief of joy, man. If you're sat around comparing yourself to your peers, like, you're just never going to be happy.
Never, ever. That comes up a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, man. Everyone's doing that.
Yeah. That's why it's nice. What's happening is there's a nice community building up. And I say it on here all the time. Like, you know, if you're feeling a bit shit or you just drop me a line. I don't have any answers and I'm not a therapist, but just that interaction of just going, no, you're fine. Don't worry. I know you feel that way and you're allowed to feel that way, but don't let that be your everything. You know, don't worry about what people are doing online. Just try and find some meaning.
Exactly.
Yourself, like you've just said, man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I think everything's going to be all right.
It's all going to be all right, mate. It's going to be more than all right. Think about when the current situation, think about when it ends. It's going to be unreal.
Yeah.
It's going to be unreal. It's going to be like, fuck, what do you mean I can go for a pint and I can stand at the bar and someone can spill their pint over me? I'm going to love that. I'm not going to headbutt him. I'm going to go, thank you.
Yeah, just hugging and headbutting. Like the old days.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait. It's just that being able to be spontaneous. Just go like that, like bumping into.
Spontaneous is the main one.
Oh, man.
Nipping in for a pint. Not planning, like, how many households is there? Like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. But bumping into people.
I don't want to eat with my pint, thank you.
Yeah. I don't need another pizza.
Yeah.
It's just bumping into people. Like, you'd be wandering around Soho and you just bump into your mate and go, oh, do you want to nip in here? And just being able to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I miss that, man. I'm looking forward to that. What are you listening to at the moment? Anything in particular?
I'm listening to, so one of the guys who I manage, Sean O'Reilly,
yeah.
he's a really great folk artist, and he's put me onto a lot of real folky stuff. So things like Martin Simpson, old school storytellers, like Nick Jones. So Nick Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the names. I don't know much about folk music.
I'll send you a couple of records. That, yeah, they're really great, like, man. Just storytelling with some fingerpick guitar, you know. It's just really nice music.
Yeah.
And especially when you've got a book out and you're reading. And I'm reading Homo Deus at the moment. Harari. So it's about, did you hear about the book Homo Sapiens? Sapiens.
Yeah.
So that's about how we got here. And then this one is, it's the blurb is a brief history of tomorrow. So it's about where we're going to evolve and what we're going to evolve into.
Wow.
Tell you what, gets you thinking. You're like, ooh. I didn't realize how close we were to like the pursuit of immortality.
Yes.
You've got things like Google have set up a side project, a company called Google Ventures, and they're like literally chucking billions into life extension.
What?
You know, and they really do think that by the year 2150 that people might be living till they're 500, and by like 2200 immortality might be a thing.
What?
Yeah, man. So
God.
I don't know, maybe this stuff is, you know, there's no facts, but it's interesting. If you think about how far we've come in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Do you think people would get much done though? I think because at the back of our minds we do know that there's a finite amount of time that we have.
And that's exactly because we know that we have an expiration date.
Yeah.
That's why we have desire, and that's why we try and do things, because we know that we only live once. We know that one day we won't wake up, and we want to do things and leave a mark. Whereas if you knew that you were going to live forever,
yeah,
well, all of that is out the window. So
yeah,
for 100 years, you can sit around wanking and eating popcorn.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. But,
but there's no, there's no kind of impetus to do anything, because you're like, well, I've got all the time in the world. Literally, until the earth explodes.
Yeah.
I've got time on my hands, and I think that would, I don't know if we'd get much done. That's the thing. Just sat around all day. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. But your body, this is the thing, because when you see people that are like 100 years old, you go, oh, well done, but you can't actually, you're just a sack of bones.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Doesn't look good.
What sort of state are you going to be in at 500 years old?
I mean, well, this is actually it. What they're saying is we will stop. You know how now our phone is essentially a part of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it goes, the extension of that is they started doing it all in a watch. Well, then the evolution of that is that we will start being able to upgrade parts of ourselves, so we would almost become bionic men.
Wow.
So you start kind of attaching robotic things to you. We could have in our forearm, we could have a health station, which is like a little screen.
Yeah.
Where you're, you know, clicking, ticking a few buttons, making sure things are okay. You'll have a system that tells you if your ticker's a little bit, you know, getting a bit worn out or whatever. Yeah, it's all food for thought. It gets quite heavy. I don't really want to be around for that, to be honest.
No, it seems a little bit, the obsession becomes all-encompassing, like we said before, that rather than enjoying the life you've got, you're kind of worrying about how much, you know, making more of it. Rather than enjoying what you've got. And I don't know if I want to get to a point where I'm just a head in a jar. running around on a robot body.
No way.
Tom, where can we find you, mate?
You can find me. What, do you want my address?
Yeah.
TomBright.co.uk. Social media is all Tom Bright Music. And then if people want to tune into Islington Radio, where they can find wonderful shows from the likes of Rich Wilson and producer Paul. It's all Islington Radio and islingtonradio.co.uk. So, wicked. Yeah, nice one.
No, nice one, man. I tell you what, and thank you for having me on the radio.
It's really a pleasure.
It's true, man. I know it's a little thing. I posted about this, but there was me and there was the Tuned Up Time Machine, and then there was Paul Gallagher's show on, and it on the same post online.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at that. Don't tell me I've not achieved anything. I'm up there with a Gallagher.
It's great, man. It's cool, isn't it?
I love it.
It's a positive thing to be born out of a pandemic, you know, and people have got on board with it. And people have been really receptive. Excellent. Where it goes, I don't know, but we're enjoying doing it.
Yeah, but it's just nice that we're doing stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I love it, man. I love doing it. I love doing this. I love doing that. I love talking to you. Everything's going to be all right, Tom. It's all going to be fine.
Even that, you know, we're in the middle of a lockdown. We can't see our loved ones and our families, but, you know, we life is still good. Life is still beautiful.
Yeah, there's still good stuff out there.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
And all that stuff that we miss, it's all going to come back. It's all going to come back this year as well.
Yeah.
So how exciting is that?
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. And I think that's what people need to remember. This isn't forever. We're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. Let's just hold on tight.
Hold on tight, that's it.
And as soon as we do, I'm going to go around to each and every one of your houses and lick your eyeballs. Because I fucking can.
Just put me higher up the list if you can. Once you've licked like 20 eyeballs, if someone's had conjunctivitis, I don't fancy it, mate, to be honest.
I'll clean myself after every lick.
So I'll keep my eyes on the news. Man in Leon C arrested.
For licking eyeballs.
The eyeball licker.
And on that bombshell, thanks, Tom. This has been lovely, mate. Cheers, man.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.